This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce, who are the top business stories of the day. But let's turn to some breaking news. We have some breaking news, in fact.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got a breaking news here from the board of directors of 1MDB is saying that the financial statements for the financial year 2010 through 2012 are essentially not to be relied on. They are not a fair assessment.
Now, this is the board of 1MDB.
Correct. The board of directors for 1MDB. This is after they received a letter dated June 8th from KPMG, which was 1MDB's auditors for those financial years. And KPMG advised 1MDB that, and I quote, they should immediately take all necessary steps to prevent any further or future reliance on the three audit reports. Now, this is similar to what their previous auditors had said as well. This was a story in 2015, right, Joyce, where another auditor also said, hey, don't rely on these audited accounts.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone through a couple of auditors, if you look at it recently. I mean, they're on to their fourth already right now. I mean, Parker Randall, UK LLP, was given access to by the police to 1MDB's accounts dating back to 2015, 2016, and 2017. This was according to CEO Arukanda Kandasamy. This was a story on May 4th. He's currently on garden leave. Yeah, I believe so. So in 2016, actually, Deloitte had notified their decision to quit while referring to the civil forfeiture complaint filed by the U.S. Department of Justice on July 20th, 2016. And Deloitte said that the complaint contained information from the 2013 and 2014 audits that would have impacted the financial statements and affected the audit reports.
Right.
So, you know, they've gone through a couple.
Yeah, well, they've gone through quite a few of the big four there in terms of auditors. Now, coming back to this breaking news here, now, why did KPMG come to this conclusion whereby they're saying, hey, you know, these accounts that we provided you those years ago, they are not a true and fair assessment? So this is because they went through the recently declassified AG's report, Auditor General's report, and it looks like, guess what? Some of the information that was in that AG's report were apparently withheld from KPMG by the previous management of 1MDB. In other words, if that detail or those details, that info, had been available to them at the time, KPMG says this, and I quote, would have materially impacted the financial statements and the relevant audit reports. In other words, you know, it hints, at least from what I gather, at the opaqueness or the lack of transparency when it comes to 1MDB's management or previous management when dealing with their then auditors.
I mean, and for auditors, their integrity must be something they value tremendously, right? So any hint of impropriety of them colluding with their client to produce a report that was less than honest about the situation of any company they were auditing would be something they would want to avoid. I'm sure they must be in damage mode now just to
damage control mode
to make sure they don't get tainted by this 1MDB scandal.
Han, actually, this is so familiar about, you know, not providing the information needed. Because in 2010, there was also a 1MDB board at that time decided to, this was the Pemegang Saham, and 1MDB board decided to sack EY on September 15, 2010 because the external auditor would not sign off on the FY 2010 accounts unless they were provided with certain documents, you know, of this, there was this $1 billion joint venture with Petrol Saudi International.
Right.
So again, it's about asking for information, and if you're not giving us information, we're not going to sign off. And because of that, UI was sacked.
Right. And so, you know, it comes back to where do you draw the line, you know, in terms of, you know, who claims ultimate responsibility? Mm-hmm. We had the former Prime Minister, Dato Sri Najib, very famously or infamously, you know, claiming in that Reuters interview not too long ago that, well, you know, a lot of this information was withheld from me. But then, you know, you are at the top of the food chain, so...
And he did put his signature to those documents. So, yeah, unless he wasn't reading when you sign. And, you know, that's something your parents always tell you to do. Before you sign anything, just read the document.
But come on, here's the thing, right? Whenever you have an update for your iTunes and whatnot, we just say, yes, I read, click, I accept, moving on. But anyways, no. I mean, I'm not justifying it for the other guy. I'm just saying. Anyways.
Looking at their auditors, so they've gone through EY, Deloitte, KPMG, and now they're on to Parker Randall. But yeah, you know, PwC was not there.
Yeah, you know, and just to recap, so with Parker Randall now, you've got the CEO of 1MDB, Arukanda, who's now on garden leave, by the way.
Until end of June? Because we're already into end of June. So what happens after that?
For Parker Randall, they, according to him, they now have access to the documents that were obtained by the police during their raid a couple of years back on 1MDB's offices. So they're going through it. Whether or not those documents will have everything that Parker Randall needs to actually sign off. No, in other words, when will we actually see some audited financial statements that we can actually rely on? Because right now, we've got nothing. Going back to 2010, we ain't got nothing.
Yeah, no financial accounts. I mean, we're looking audited at financial just accounts, information, right? Basically, we need correct information. Speaking about 1MDB, TRX City said that it lodged a police report on Friday on the transfers of TRX. Sees funds to 1MDB. So this is a total of 3 billion ringgit that was transferred from TRXC to 1MDB between mid-2012 to early 2017.
Right. So this was in the local business dailies, or I believe on the front pages of the Star as well, at least related to it. Now, once again, 1MDB, the story that keeps on giving.
Apparently, the assumption in this transfer was that TRX City would be repaid this amount. The funds were for the project, but it seems to have gone in a direction that was probably unintended.
Yeah, look, I mean, given the declassified Auditor General's report on 1MDB, you know, we were reminded once again about basically asking the question, well, where did the money go? For example, they had raised about 4 billion ringgit from local banks and local entities, etc. But guess what? Only 6% of those funds were actually channeled towards developing TRX and Bandar Malaysia. Where did the rest go? And so now you've got actually TRX City themselves, now under the new MOF, who have actually lodged a police report over the swindling of 3 billion ringgit of funds to 1MDB.
Okay, let's look at more on that. Sorry, we do have developments with 1MDB with regard to Rosmah Mansur, the wife of the former Prime Minister. This is a story taken up in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, so Wall Street Journal coming out with this story at about 4:30 a.m. Malaysian time this morning. The title reads, Malaysia's extravagant ex-First Lady lands in graft investigators' sights. Now, yes, of the First Lady, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the question is, no charges have been laid or proffered against her. But special officer to the former Prime Minister was arrested on Sunday.
Yeah, if you look at they quoted him. I mean, they didn't name him. They're calling him a 42-year-old datuk. But Reuters have named Amhari Effendi Nazaruddin as the man who was arrested by MACC. Mm. So looking at this, it looks like sources say that he had received, 62 million ringgit from his former boss?
Yeah, 62 million ringgit apparently for the company, that company being Orb Solution. For the individual, looks like it's 2 million ringgit. We've got some differing numbers used by different papers. We'll have to kind of sort through those. But yeah, you know, once again, that broad net when it comes to the 1MDB investigation, mm-hmm. Is ensnaring quite a few people, not just perhaps Datin Sri Rosmah, not just perhaps Mr. Anhari, but also, according to a Malaysian Insight story, up to 1,000 names. That's a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. Last year, the Straits Times reported that Anhari was among the key figures involved in negotiations between 1MDB and International Petroleum Investment Company from Abu Dhabi, IPIC, to settle that outstanding loan obligation. So he's quite involved in the intricate dealings of 1MDB. The question is, during this investigation period, is he going to name others, and who will they be, and will this dragnet of the police widen as a consequence?
It's getting wider and wider. But if you look, if you follow the money trail, it's gone to so many countries where the money had gone, right? So if you follow that and the amount of money that has gone out, you know, coming from the 1MDB debacle, you can follow the money and from there get the names. And it's, I guess it's going to take time. Yeah, you have to wait.
And it's not just the number of individuals, number of countries, number of jurisdictions, but also the cost on Malaysian taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So Maybank Kim Eng just came out with the cost of servicing 1MDB debts, 34.6 billion ringgit between 2019 to 2023.
Okay, in the little time that we have, let's have a quick look at a interview that was given to the Malaysian Reserve, Gobind Singh Deo, because our Minister of Communications, saying government's going to be or plans to liberalise the pay TV market.
Yeah, so he's saying that the proposals for pay TV licenses have come forward, and he's saying that he will look into them, and he thinks that it's something healthy and needed for us to move ahead. But the question here is, who wants to get into this industry? Is gonna the capex, the cost of it, how much is it gonna cost them to enter into the pay TV industry?
Right. Keeping in mind, Astro's monopoly actually ended, I believe, in February of last year. There was another name that was bandied about. I think Ansa Broadcast. That was last year. They say that, well, they could enter the satellite pay TV segment, but really we'll have to wait and see, you know, whether Gobind actually wants it, or the people actually want it, or the industry actually wants it.
Okay,
who wants it?
Thank you very much, Han, for that belated question. On that note, we go to the top of the hour with the news. We'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market, more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.